talking again this week about America's new religion. There's a new religion in America. Most of you didn't see it coming. Most are even unaware that it's here. Not just America, but it's all Europe. It's the whole world. This new religion is upon us. It's everywhere. It's not some place over there. It's everywhere. The Bible talks about the mass deception. Deception is something that comes without being aware of it. People become deceived not because they know they're being deceived, they're just deceived. They don't realize they've been deceived. They may never realize it until it's too late. The mass deception upon America. This new religion that surrounds us. We're going to read in Matthew chapter 16. Jesus is talking to his disciples. He's going to give them a warning. Verse 6, that's chapter 16. Then Jesus said unto them, his disciples, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Now, let's stop there for a second. We all know what leaven is, I believe. It's just it's like a yeast. You put it into bread, you put it in something, and it begins to age and bubble, whatever it does. It begins to expand within the food, in the bread. And it happens so slowly and without fanfare, it just begins to happen. Verse 7. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, is it because we have taken no bread? Which, when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because ye thought I brought no bread? Do you not remember or understand the five loaves and five fishes? He's not talking about bread, guys, he's saying. Well, just bread. We can get bread. You saw how I got bread before. It's not really that big of a deal. Verse 10. Neither the seven loaves or 4,000, how many baskets he took up? How is it you don't understand that I spoke to you not concerning bread? It's a metaphor, guys. I'm not talking about bread. That you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Beware of this. Of them, beware of what they're teaching. Verse 12. Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees. Guys, beware of the doctrine of the Pharisees. Paul in Titus 1:14 says, beware of Jewish fables. Now we are aware, according to Jewish writing, according to Jewish teaching, according to their own encyclopedias, according to their own history, that Phariseeism today is just referred to as Judaism. The same religion. It's not something different. People have this idea that Pharisees were back then, and there was some type of religious belief system that existed back then, but then it doesn't exist anymore. But the Pharisees, modern Pharisees, or Judaism, teaches that Phariseeism just became known as Talmudism, Rabbiism, and today known as Judaism. The same thing. Both relied upon the Babylonian Talmud. And Christ said, beware of this doctrine of the Pharisees. Now remember, why is that important? Why is that important? Because remember from Isaiah 14, we're in the midst of a massive satanic rebellion against the government of God. We have Satan saying he's going to extend up into the heights of heaven. He's going to sit in the congregation the size of the north. And the word congregation, every time the place that we find the word congregation in the Bible is used, is referring to what? The congregation of the Lord, referring to Israel, our people. Every time. And Satan says he's going to send into the congregation the size of the north. That's why it's important. We are engaged, we are involved in, we are witnessing a massive satanic rebellion against the government of God. The issue we're facing in our nation today and among our people isn't something that just happened when Obama became president. It just happened when the Federal Reserve was enacted in 1913 or what, some other date in history you may pick. It just didn't happen when the Communist Party was forced to incorporate the United States. It just didn't happen when Karl Marx wrote the Das Kapital and the Communist Manifesto. This rebellion has been going on from the beginning of time. From the very inception of time, there's been rebellion against what? The government of God. And it had grown and accelerated up to the present hour in which we live. So today we are in the midst of a nation that is consumed in what? Mass deception. Now, most Christians think that, because I'm a Christian, this is referring to those non-Christians. These are referring to people who don't go to church. They might get deceived. These are referring to people who never committed their life to Christ. This is referring to people who go to the bars and nightclubs. This refers to people who are sinful people. It doesn't refer to me. Most Christians think it doesn't refer to me. Why? Because I'm a Christian and I can't be deceived because I got the Holy Spirit in my life and I can't be deceived. That's what they think. That's the first deception. Because here were 12 men who walked with Jesus daily. And he's looking at them directly in the eye and saying, beware of the teachings of the Pharisees, of the satanic rebellion, because you may get deceived. Now, in order to look at this new religion, let's look at what Martin Luther King said. He wrote this in his book, Where Do We Go From Here? Martin Luther King says, this is a day which demands new thinking and the reevaluation of old concepts. He said, we have to reevaluate what we are and what we believe and all this sort of thing. And of course, that's alarming. Let's look at what Hillary Clinton said.
All laws don't count for much if they're not enforced. Laws have to be backed up with resources and political will, and deep-seated cultural codes, religious beliefs, and structural biases have to be changed.
Really? This new agenda that Hillary Clinton and Obama and many others are promoting, she said, in order to bring them about, it's not enough just to have a law. We have to get into the very heart and soul of people and change what they think and how they think. Catherine Bennett, I think I got the name right, who was with the National Education Association, wrote in 1978, I believe it was. She said that we are going to become, talking about public school teachers, we are going to become agents of change in the school system. And the agents of change is something you usually come about slowly, just like that yeast. Slowly. You don't even realize it. It just happened. So we're talking about this new religion. Many Christians are fooled or deceived, I will say, into thinking that in the last days there's going to be this terrible person going to rise. He's going to be the Antichrist. And he's going to manipulate the world into a false religion that would deny Jesus Christ. You've heard that. We've all heard that. Some people portray this Antichrist being like an ugly, grotesque monster. Other people portray him as being like a really handsome, smart dude. But they all say he's going to appear, he's going to steer people away from Jesus. And so you're not going to want to worship Jesus. And they're going to have armies walking through the doors of churches, put guns in people's heads and say, do you deny Jesus? If you don't, then you get shot. And this is how most people have. They've got this idea that the Antichrist is going to appear like some evil person. And so they're looking for some evil person as the Antichrist. And all through history, there's been all kinds of people that have been named. Most recent one is Obama. People said he's the Antichrist. Well, Obama's not the Antichrist. He's just an evil Negro. The Antichrist isn't coming like an enemy. That's the way I see it. You may see it differently. I'm telling you the way I see it. This Antichrist is not coming like somebody we should be afraid of. This idea that the Antichrist is some evil person is wrong. Hear me out. This Antichrist is coming that is going to deceive the whole world. He's going to deceive Christians. An evil person isn't going to be able to deceive Christians, is he? Christians are not going to willingly forsake Jesus Christ and start worshiping some false god. Christians aren't going to do that. But if it happens through deception, that's a different story. We now see the death of Christ in almost every church in America. The false image of Jesus Christ, which is being worshipped today. This false image of Jesus Christ is fully established and fully embraces miscegenation and Sodom. Those are the two issues. Those are the two things, and we're not going to go into it today. It's another sermon or two. But those are two things that Christ said will be the signs of the last time, the last day. The sign of the last time for his coming, he said, there'll be the vast acceptance of race mixing and an overwhelming acceptance of Sodom. And it's happening today. Tell me a church that speaks out against race mixing. Finally. Today, every church, certainly, practically every church, let me rephrase that, but certainly every church on television fully is embraced in the satanic rebellion. Jimmy Swagger doesn't know it. These other preachers see on TV, they don't know it. But it turned out that they died or filled through all those preachers. I'm going to contend that every single one of them have fully embraced the satanic rebellion. Even though they sing the gospel songs, even though they talk about Jesus Christ, even though they talk about coming forward accepting Christ, even though they talk about the blood and the crucifixion, even though they talk about those things, they are all, in every facet, fully embracing the satanic rebellion. How? Deception. That's what deception is all about. If you know it, you're not deceived. You're only deceived if you don't know it. You don't know you've been deceived. They don't know it. They've been deceived. Because they both bring about and accept. Now, I know some don't accept sodomy yet, but they will. The multiracial church now dominates the entire spectrum of Judeo-Christianity. Find me a church, except for a few like ours, and there are others, we're not the only one, thankfully, there are many others throughout the country, but find me a big name church that can be on a street corner with the sign saying, "Everybody welcome!" that does not accept miscegenation and racism. This one world church dominates every corner of the Christian faith today. It dominates the churches, the publishing houses, Bible bookstores, Sunday school manuals, Christian television, Christian radio, and evangelism. There is no escaping from this multiracial religion. The very last church, we got a book on it called The Last Church, which is, again, too much to go into today. But the last church, the Laodicean church, literally means the church for other people. Other people's rights. It literally means a multiracial church. Now, people who espouse this multiculturalism and say that these people are fanatics in their effort to bring about this racial integration. Why? Why are these churches so proud and boastful that they are a multicultural church, a multiracial church, that they don't have judgment or prejudice on anybody? Everybody's welcome in the dirt church. Somebody said they treat it like a religion. No, it's not. They don't treat multiracial, multicultural. They don't treat those things like a religion. That is their religion. We have to understand that this is the pursuit of the modern church today, is to embrace multiracialism and miscegenation. It's their religion. Their religion is based on it. This new religion has come upon us totally unaware and totally undetected. The vast majority of people, the vast majority of Christian people, are totally unaware that they've been brought into the new religion. This is the satanic rebellion spoken of in Isaiah 14. And as this new religion, which dominates our Christian church world today, and the head of this new church is the new Jesus Christ. He looks like the old Jesus. He looks like the old Jesus. How can deception work unless you make the image of Spirit like the original? I've been down in Mexico, some many of you have been here, in the Guadalupe Street corner. I've got me a Rolex watch. I've got a whole lot of them up here, you know. It said Rolex right on the little deal right there. It said Rolex. You know, and you get this $1,000 watch, you get for like $10. It said Rolex. It looks like a Rolex. How many times do we buy people buy DVDs or CDs, you know, and they're copied or what do they call that? There's a word for it. But they're not the original. The Jesus that they're giving us today, he looks like the old Jesus, but he's not. He's not. You see, their Jesus that they're giving us today is a Jew that is tolerant of all religions. Even though Jesus said there's a wide way that leads to death, and only a narrow way that leads to life everlasting, this new Jesus is open to everything. He's tolerant of all religions. He's tolerant of an interracial marriage. He's becoming more and more tolerant of sodomy. In fact, he is more than tolerant. Because tolerant just means you're willing to accept an inferior, maybe. This new Jesus embraces, with Christian love, other religions, interracial marriage. Embraces those who are gay and lesbian, transgender, sexually confused. I know some of these conservative churches will say, they'll never accept sodomites. You hear them. You hear them, don't you? I can go on TV and still find preachers that say they'll never accept sodomites. They speak out against us. But they're lying. They will accept it. All these preachers you see on TV up on the street corner who say they will never accept homosexuality, they're lying to you. I can show you why I know they're lying. Because they've already established their weakness. They've already proven they're weak. In 1960, or in the 60s, thousands of churches throughout America said they'll never accept integration. Thousands of churches said we'll never accept integration. In fact, in 1958, 330 churches in the Dallas and Fort Worth area made a public statement published in the May 18, 1958 edition of Dallas Morning News, saying that they believe that integration of the races was a sin. Wow. 350 some churches said they published, they had a statement. I knew one of the people who actually signed that statement, Dr. James Lovell. He actually signed that statement. He passed on, but he was faithful to the end. And I'm sure there were some others that were faithful to the end. But the point is, in 1958, 330-some churches in Dallas and Fort Worth alone said they will never accept integration that believe those on Scripture. Can you find 250 churches in Dallas today that will say that? No, because they're weak. You might find 350 churches say they'll never accept sodomy. But 30 years from now, where will they be at? They've already proven their weakness. What caused them to change? Two things. One thing is a new crop of leaders begin to arise, being molded in the image of the new Jesus. And there's certain loss, of course, then their tax exception. I had one preacher telling me, he said, I can't preach like you do. I said, why not? He said, because I'll lose my tax exception. Really? That's it? The love of money is the root of all evil. Perhaps no better example of this great change occurred than in the life of this man right here. W.A. Griswell, pastor of the First Baptist Church in Dallas. For 50 years he pastored that church. It was one of the first mega churches in America. The congregation was 26,000 people. He is considered a very conservative, not a liberal, very conservative minister. Helped resurrect, as they say, or spawn the conservative theology in America. On February 21, 1956, that man spoke to the South Carolina Baptist Evangelism Conference. Pastor one of the largest denominations of churches in America, twice elected as president of the Southern Baptist Convention. And he spoke before this conference in South Carolina. And standing at the pulpit of the First Baptist Church of Columbia before an overflowing crowd of people, he said, true ministers must passionately resist government-mandated desegregation. It is, quote, a denial of all that we believe in, he said. He said the recent Supreme Court, referring to the 1954 Brown versus Board of Education, he said the recent Supreme Court ruling intended to ram integration down the collective throats of the South of those supporting integration. He said, let them integrate. Let them set up there in their fine, dirty clothes and shirts and make all their fine speeches, but they are all a bunch of infidels. That's what he said. And that's what he taught. But in 1968, 12 short years later, that same man said, we Southern Baptists have definitely turned away from racism, from segregation, from anything that and everything that speaks of a separation of people in the body of Christ. 12 years. That's all it took. 12 years for that man to be sucked into the One World Church. Then he boasted that his church already has many non-white members and was open to all people regardless of their race. Later he said he didn't think anybody really believed in the segregation nonsense anyway. He said. The same thing is beginning to happen now as a new crop of future church leaders are beginning and being molded in our schools and universities. I'm going to read three letters to help illustrate this new religion. The first is a letter I got in the mail, and the other two are comments I got, or emails I got. One says, I was startled to leave my church last Sunday and find a flyer from the KKK on my windshield. Did you and your cohorts leave a similar flyer on the windshield of my fellow African-American friends who were worshiping with me? You may call yourself Christian, but you are hate mongers. There's no place for people like you in my life or in my church or in my community. Later in the day, I attended another meeting with some wonderful people from the Democratic Republic of the Congo, who settled in Bloomington, Illinois area. My God is the God of love, he says. Another email I got says, I'm a Christian, but don't you have some respect for other religions? How can you be so certain a Christian? This comes from someone who claims to be a Christian. How can you be so certain that Christianity is the only true religion? Just because a book says so? I'm pretty sure that the Quran or other religious books make the same claim of their religion. Do you really wish to degrade other people's faith like that by saying they are evil? Judaism or Hinduism gives so many people strength and helps them with their everyday affairs. Why condemn them all? I'm going to skip the next one for the sake of time. We have to understand that we are in a battle between two great armies. The Apostle Paul called them the children of light versus the children of darkness. And like in every army, in every battle, there are strategies and there are tactics. And this is the satanic rebellion. This is not just Satan walking around saying, oh, say a dirty word. They're too bad. Oh, don't look at the girl. Oh, look at the girl a little longer. Or, you know, is that it? Is that Satan? Just telling you to steal a bubble gum from the cat or from the shelf or something? You know those things are wrong. Is that really it? Paul said we wrestle against principalities, against powers, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So like in every battle, rebellion, this is a rebellion. There are tactics and disinformation and there are war propaganda. Anything to defuse the enemy. To gain the advantage. Divide the enemy. Identify soft spots in the enemy's armor. Satan's doing all those things. He's studying our tactics. He's studying our soft spots. He's wondering how he can get the advantage in the satanic rebellion against the government of God. Satan's not walking around getting into your head and telling you to do naughty things. If you do naughty things, it's because you're a naughty person. Don't blame Satan. Don't blame him. This is the same battle we are facing. The Apostle Paul tells his Ephesians to put on the armor of God. The soft spot in our defenses is in our nature. We are a compassionate people. It's our greatest weakness. Those that hate you and hate your children use this against us constantly. Of course, they're never going to tell you they hate you. That'd be kind of foolish of them. But all the while, they hate you because you represent the army of the living God. American new religion is the brotherhood of man and the fatherhood of God. This is the core element of their new religion. In spite of what they tell you, the core element of their religion is not Jesus Christ. It is not the crucifixion. It is not the resurrection of the blood atonement. These are all side issues to help empower and bring about the deception. The core of the religion is what? The brotherhood of man. Everything that is done is to empower the one world government, the one world church. It depends on their ability to manipulate the compassion of our people into accepting the teachings of the Antichrist, which is to bring about the destruction of who? The congregation of the Lord. Remember what Isaiah says? In 14, Satan wants to send his congregation, the size of them, to capture and control who? The congregation of the Lord. Who is that? That's Israel. That's your people. That's the people that God made this covenant with, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But he made this covenant to them, to all their generation. And he said his very integrity, the very integrity of God, rest upon his ability to keep that covenant. If he cannot keep that covenant he made with our people, to preserve them a people unto himself, to preserve them as a people, though those the holy people of God, if he does not have the ability to preserve them as a people and keep his covenant, then what? He fails. And if he fails, he sins. And that's the only way Satan can win the rebellion is to cause God to sin. And he causes God to sin by doing what? By making sure that Satan or that he cannot keep the covenant. If he doesn't keep the covenant, if we are genocided out of existence, When he said, I made this covenant for you, as long as the sun is in the heavens, the stars are in the sky, and you can't measure the width of the universe, my covenant is with you. And if he can genocide our people, then he has shown that God could not keep his promise to Abraham. And makes God a failure. And Satan wins the rebellion. Satan wants to win. Do we understand that? Satan wants to win this thing. He wants to win. He's in a war. What rebellion do we know in the history of the world that he didn't really try to win? Do you think Satan isn't trying to win? Of course he's trying to win. And in his mind, he wins by making God like us, a sinner. Now, we don't believe that is possible. But Satan, if I can just make God sin by causing him to be unable to keep his covenant. So everything that is done to empower the power of the one Lord Church. I'm going to put two pictures on the screen. One is a picture. We don't have a real picture, but this is a picture that we can imagine, okay? One is a picture of the Antichrist. One is a picture of Jesus Christ, okay? I'm going to put them both on the screen at the same time. One picture is the Antichrist. One picture is Jesus Christ. Can you tell the difference? Which one is the Antichrist? Which one is Jesus Christ? Remember the mass deception. Christ, God, Satan, he said, I'm going to sit in the temple of God showing himself that he is God. One of those is the Antichrist. You can't tell the way they look. You can't tell by the music they sing. You can't tell how many times they've gone down the aisle. You can't tell which is the Antichrist. You can't tell which is the real Christ. Why? Because that brings about the deception. If I don't know something else, I'm going to be deceived because I don't know which one. I don't know which one. They look the same. How can you tell? How can you tell which is the Antichrist? Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day will not come. Let the falling away come. Now, the falling away has to be from the church. Not Christians have nothing to fall away from, do they? The only people who have something to fall away from are Christians. Lest it come and falling away first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Is there a false image? Is there a Jesus Christ, a false Jesus, sitting in the temple of God, showing himself he is God, that deceives people? How do you know which is the real Jesus? Remember that old TV program with a real, you know, game same guy? Stand up. How do you know which is the real Jesus? Well, the real Jesus is going to be faithful to something. And the false Jesus is not going to be faithful. See, the real Jesus says what? What are the greatest commandments? Love your God and love your people. That's what the real Jesus said. What did the false Jesus say? Love everyone. Do we see what's happening in our nation today? Do we see what's happening? How our people are being sucked and deceived, not even realized, into worshiping a Jesus that is the son of perdition. And not the Jesus who keeps his covenants. Remember that's what Luke 1:72 says? He came to remember the holy covenant that he gave to our father Abraham. The Antichrist wants to destroy our people. And they're doing it.
What, that billboard in town? Diversity is salvation?
Right. There's a billboard in town. Diversity is a code word for salvation. Some senior, not highly 65. Really? Diversity is a code word of salvation. Now, the destruction of our people is mandatory. It's mandatory to win this satanic rebellion. That's why this threat of white genocide is so important. It's so very important because we're not just white people and then black people and yellow people. Oh, you've been born black, huh? That's the people. Really? Have you been born black? No, you could not have been born black. It's impossible. Ben, you could not have been born black any more than you've been born a
cow.
You could not have been born black any more than you could have been born a rabbit or a rattlesnake or any other creature. You could not have been born anything but what you are. Why? Because you are the covenant of the sons and daughters of God. So bring about white genocide is very important. And they're working for it directly. Here's what Joe Biden said recently.
Not only are Muslim communities, but African communities, Asian communities, Hispanic communities, and the wave still continues. It's not going to stop. Nor should we want it to stop. As a matter of fact, it's one of the things I think we can be most proud of. So there's a second thing in the black box. An unrelenting stream of immigration. Non-stop. Folks like me who were Caucasian of European descent, for the first time in 2017, will be an absolute minority in the United States of America. Absolute minority. Fewer than 50% of the people in America, from then and on, will be white European stock. That's not a bad thing. That's a source of our strength. And so...
That's not a bad thing? That white people become a minority in America? That's a source of our strength? Was white people becoming a minority a good thing for Detroit? Was white people becoming a minority in Kansas City a good thing? Was white people becoming a minority in Memphis a good thing? Or St. Louis? Or Philadelphia? Pittsburgh? Atlanta? Chattanooga? Nashville? Was that a good thing? Well, we know better. In the book, What Color Is Your God? They write, the struggle for human rights is not merely sociological or political. It is a part of the spiritual warfare portrayed by Paul. The path to racial and social reconciliation will always begin in the confessional. Each of us must face the fact that we are sinners, that we are prejudiced, and that we have failed in so many ways to present the image of kingdom needed in our society. This idea that if you have prejudice in your heart, that if you are have concern about white genocide, what's done to our people, that you're somehow an evil person. Because they've shifted. They've got this new religion now. And it's everywhere. Yeah, because they see the whole world, Revelation says. In October 1997, the interfaith religious group, the Promise Keepers, held a rally on the National Mall in Washington, D.C. Meryl and I was in Oklahoma City at this time. We're visiting Jason, who's in law school, and we come down sick, so we couldn't come home. Jason was stuck with us for a couple of days, so we sat there 2 days being sick watching TV. And we're watching this large conference in Washington, D.C. on the National Mall by the Promise Keepers. It was broadcast on CNN. The most outrageous thing of this whole deal was they had a white man come up on the stage. And the white man was supposed to represent the white race in general. And they had him come on stage, this white guy. And he gets down on his knees and he starts to cry and wail and whine about all the terrible things that our race have done to the non-white people of the world. Whether it be Indian, whether it be black, whether it be Jewish, whether it be Asian, regardless, it won't make any difference. And he wailed and wailed and carried on. And then they had people representing the various different races of the world all coming up, putting their hand on him and saying, I forgive you. And he wailed on, I forgive you, I forgive you. Why did this man need forgiveness? For fulfilling exactly what God says our people would be doing. He tells our people in Israel, upon every place you put your foot, you will conquer. That was our blessing to our people. This new American religion has given us a new God. He's the Antichrist. He embraces the brotherhood of man. It shows us our guilt. We have committed sin, the sin of racism. We need and seek repentance. And it's a mass deception. Mike Smith, pastor of the First Baptist Church in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, suggests that we want true forgiveness for our racism. We need to pray the sinner's prayer. Here it is. With God's help, I confess the sin of racism. Racism has infected my heart and mind, found its way into my speech and actions, led me to suppress the Christ in me for the sake of fitting in to the culture surrounding me. I ask God's forgiveness. May God help me change my ways. With God's support, I will never again pass along racial statements or any kind by the word of my mouth, email, text messages, or any other media. I will not listen to or support those who seek to inflame racism in my school, workplace, family, society, or church. I will undertake to develop friendship with people of a race other than my own. I will defend equality before the law for all people. By the time I die, I will learn to love and treat all people as my God-created brothers and sisters. So in closing, Satan created a false religion. It's a religion that embraces miscegenation, or just fancy word for race mixing, and a word, and embraces sodomy. It hasn't totally embraced sodomy yet, but it's on a pathway. It's coming. They have become soft on the issue. This new Christ is the purpose of creating a new religion to destroy the people of God and to bring about the fulfillment of the satanic rebellion. It's the doctrine of the Pharisees. Now, what about all these people? What about all these people that are out here preaching what we perceive to be the teachings of Christ? What about the Jimmy Swaggers or the Billy Grahams or whatever preachers? Jesse Duplantis, Kerry Shook. What about these preachers? You sit there in front of the TV set, and I watch them. I watch a lot of TV preachers. Not a lot, but I do watch them some. They preach Jesus. And they sing those wonderful songs and the music. And everything's so wonderful and embracing and loving. And they think these are good people. Look at the work they're doing. They're teaching, they're taking Christ to the world. They got those satellite discs. And they got universities. And they got students by the hundreds coming to them. They stand on strong principles, strong morality. They stand against. They don't like Hillary. And you think that well, these are good people. And I hear, I'm telling you, well, yeah, they are. See, the deception isn't because of how much bad they teach. The deception comes about because of how much good they teach. If they're mostly bad, the deception couldn't get a foothold. But because they're mostly good, the deception gets a foothold. And so we read in, you might have that screen. We can read that verse there in a minute. Matthew chapter 7. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravaging wolves. The word prophets just means teachers. Don't try to give us some mystical meaning. Just mean teachers. Beware of false teachers who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravaging wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Not by the words, not by the music they sing, not by anything else. Because we judge the people by those things, don't we? We judge people by what they say. and how they act. He said, don't judge them by, their fruits. What is the conclusion of their teaching? What is the final end result of what they teach? You shall judge them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs or thistles? Even so, every good tree brings forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that brings forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Not by their words, not by their music, not by the churches, not by the size of the congregation, not by their missionary program, by none of those things. What is the conclusion of their teaching? What is the final fruit? I'm going to read right there. Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. What was the will of the Father? Love your God and love your people, wasn't it? Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not taught in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils? In thy name done many wonderful works? Now listen, these are people that are protesting Jesus. They're standing before the great throne, and they're in protest. They can't understand it. Jimmy Swagger can't understand it. He said, Lord, look at all this stuff. I brought people to Christ. I cast out devils, brought people to Christ. Look at the mission work I've done. I don't understand it. And how many other preachers down here in your town or churches you know? Good people. From our standpoint, from the worldly standpoint, good people. Going to stand before the judgment seat of the Lord and say, look at all the work I've done. These are not evil people. Evil people are not going to protest. Do you think George Soros, he's going to know his judgment. These are people who are really actually confused. They don't understand why they are suddenly brought into displeasure before Jesus Christ. And they're protesting. Look at all the things we've done, Jesus. Look at all the people we brought forward to your church. Look at all the missionary programs we had. Look at the missionary that we sent across overseas. Look at the people that came forward to our church. Look at the gospel songs I've written. Look at all the satellite programs we had. Look at all the people we touched for you every single Sunday. Every day of the week, we taught the word of the Lord. Of course, we're told in the Bible, in vain you do worship, we teach for doctrines and commandments of men. So you can't worship Jesus without being a Christian. As we said, in vain you do worship me. And they're confused. Look at all the wonderful work you did. And then it will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. The iniquity is the fruit. All the other stuff is addressing. All the stuff that we all look at. It's the iniquity. It's the fruit that you judge them by. These people, by the way, all these wonderful things, but they work iniquity. You know what iniquity means? Lawlessness. Now, I'm going to close real quick. These are people who committed lawlessness. They violated the laws of God. Now, does that mean that these people went to church on the wrong day? Does that mean they didn't understand some church doctrine the way somebody else did? Did that mean they got baptized the wrong way? Is because they didn't understand how salvation really worked according to their teaching? Is because they smoked a cigarette? Is because they drank a can of beer? Is that what he means? He says, for all these things you've done, but you're workers of iniquity. You committed lawlessness. What law do they promote and teach that brought about this bad fruit? I'm going to tell you, the law they broke is the law that nature gives every child when it's born. Every child is born, he's not born a Baptist, he's not born an insurance salesman, he's not born a barber, he's not born a real estate agent, he's not born a Democrat, he's not born anything. Every single child is dictated with the law of God, the mandate. Every child is born with two identification marks, his race and it's gender. Every child is born either male, female, white or non-white, every child. That is the law of nature that God dictates to that birth of that child. And when we have a satanic rebellion, seeking to undermine the power of God and bring about the rebellion, the thing he wants to do more than anything else is destroy God's authority. And that's why race mixing and this sodomy is a law of thing that God says that will destroy you. I don't care whether you worship church on Sunday or Saturday. That will destroy you. And that is the very thing that the host and the mass of our churches throughout America and Europe and the world have embraced and sucked themselves into. The one world church that worships a Jesus appearing in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. But he's not. It's all mass deception. It's the evasion of the body snatchers. And they snatched away Jesus Christ and created a new image that has deceived the world. Our Father, we thank you for this day and your blessings upon us. We pray that you help us to remain strong, faithful, and courageous. We know that there are people in the world today who are lost. We have a heart of compassion for them. We reach out to them and touch them. Because this is indeed the great message that Malachi spoke of turning the hearts of the fathers to the children, the hearts of the children to the fathers. Give us strength and give us courage. Help us remain faithful to the very end. We ask it all in your name. Amen.
Very good, Pastor Rowe. If you'd like to get more information regarding our church service here as well as our conferences, you can write to us at Christian Revival Center, P.O. Box 602, Harrison, Arkansas, 72601. That's Christian Revival Center, P.O. Box 602, Harrison, Arkansas, 72601. Or you can email us at revival@southshore.com. And with that, if everyone can please stand and... I am looking for my note that was up here. We may have got to put it away. There it is. Okay. Page 46. Onward, Christian Soldier. Very befitting song. 46. Onward, Christian Soldier. And let's sing verses 1. 3 and 4. Onward, Christian Soldiers, page 46, 1, 3, and 4.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banners go. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before.
Number 3.
Like a mighty army moves the church of God. Brothers, we are treading where the saints have trod. We are not divided, all one body we, one in hope and doctrine, one in charity. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Onward then, ye people, join our happy throng. Blend with our joy voices in the triumph song. Glory loud and honor unto Christ the King. This through countless ages men and angels sing. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before.
You're all dismissed.